So, an imam,
a priest, and rabbi walk into a bar.
Good afternoon, and welcome to A Rabbi, a Priest, and an Imam Walk Into. This is Dr. Michelle Loris, and I want to welcome you to our podcast. And I want to welcome our guests, Imam Gosman Aga and Rabbi Marcello Cormas and Father Anthony Ciora, all here from Sacred Heart University. And what we do here is we take an opportunity to talk about some big and important questions, pressing questions in our world today. And today, I'd like to ask you, gentlemen, about what some people think of as a marriage and family crisis in our society. That is, the divorce rate is up to about 50% for first marriages. And so what is going on in our society? Why? And one of the other things we know is that our millennials are getting married later and later. Mm. So what do you think's happening?
Yeah, I think to kind of frame the conversation for me, I see it from this perspective, and everything else follows from this. For me, it's the issue of commitment. And it's across the board. It's commitment in marriage, but commitments in general. We have trouble with commitment in our culture. In my class the other day, we talked about hookup cultures. And for students, they think nothing of going out each night, drinking, getting involved with someone, posting on a Facebook thing, and there's no sense whatever of a commitment to another human being. But basically, it's a hookup culture. So young people are growing up with this mentality. So in our culture at large right now, I think we're a culture that has a great deal of difficulty with commitment. And that now filters into marriage, civil unions, divorces, and separations. The bottom line is, I don't think we understand and appreciate commitment.
I think there is a generational difference, as Father Tony is pointing out. And I can tell you my experience growing up in Chile. I think that many people view in a very negative way couples who would get divorced. And when I was growing up, well, this was 30, 35, 40 years ago, there were very few classmates who would have their parents divorced. And those who were divorced in Latin American countries, they were, you know, seeing in a very negative light. But today I see the class of my children, and there are several parents who are divorced, and that's perfectly fine, and no one is going to say anything. So I think that, you know, I'm not judging if that's better or not. I'm just saying that there is there's a difference between generations and how marriage and divorce was or is understood for those.
But why have we come to be so accepting of an automatic divorce? You know, oh, I thought I loved you. I thought this would work out, but it's not working out. And so let's get a divorce.
Well, we can talk about it later during conversation, but I agree that commitment to someone else as is commitment to something, you know, is declining. And people are less willing to commit to something, to someone, and to a cause or to another person.
Yes, Imam.
Well, I think that no one is happy. The divorced couples, they are not happy because they are divorced. Children are not happy. Their families are not happy. Society is not happy. So I think it's a sad thing what is happening. In Islam, divorce is allowed, but is the most unliked allowed thing in Islam by God. So he allows that because sometimes it's kind of... it never goes. But when it comes to why, I think that there are a lot of whys. I think we need to make the definition of what we are looking for, as we talked before about happiness, like what is our goal in our life. Nothing is perfect, and of course the husband or the wife won't be perfect. But today we don't have patience. We don't have commitment. We think that by changing things, we will find solution. And the youth today, especially, it's hard for us to go until the end of a thing and trying to solve that. We just leave it in the middle, and we think that by starting a new thing, we'll solve the problem. So when it comes to the causes that is having and the problems that is causing for the especially children of the separated couples, I think that it's a problem that we as a religious leadership and religious community should work how to... there is a scholar who says that we should add school for marriage before they get married. What is marriage?
Well, I think in the Catholic faith, there is something where the priest meets with the couple. Yeah.
We have a program really throughout the country. It's called Pre-Cana. And it's not just a priest. It's a priest and married couples. And it's an effort, really, Ghazi and Marcello, to deal with what you're talking about in terms of preparation for marriage, right?
Do you have any statistics? Is it working?
Well, I could say this. Mine is more anecdotal. The couples that go 99% of the time, they like it, and they find it helpful. But the thing that's surprising is very often they deal with questions in the pre-Cana sessions that they've never thought about before, which tells you about the lack of communication. Right. But one other thing I would say, Pope Francis wrote an important letter called Amoris Laetitia in English, meaning the joy of love. And it's a beautiful, beautiful letter on love. And he talks about love, quoting St. Paul, you know, love is patient, love is kind, etc. But he says an important thing in the letter. He says that in today's world, given what we're talking about here, we need to accompany people where they're at. And so therefore, many of our people in the Catholic Church who are sitting there in the church are divorced. And so the Pope is saying they still have a place with us. Now, some people have reacted to this. Mm-hmm. The fundamentalists would say, no, they can't receive communion and they can't do this.
Mm-hmm. If they're remarried.
Yes. Yes, thank you for that clarification. So, but the Pope is saying accompany them. And it's the same thing with civil unions. There are those who will say, absolutely not. Well, the Pope is saying, for example, when he was the Archbishop in Argentina, he did not talk about gay marriage, but he talked about civil unions. And there's a difference between a marriage and a civil union, and he was supportive of this. However, there are those who take this black and white view who would be, say, against this. Basically, and I think there's a lot of beauty in what he's saying, we need to accept people. It doesn't mean you agree, but you need to accept people and walk with people where they're at.
You know, from a Jewish perspective, it's interesting that the Torah actually says that when the first human being was created, he was created as male and female at the same time. Then the Midrash, which is the interpretation of the Torah, comes and says that really what God did was God split between this creature, this first, human being, creating men and women. And then when men and women reunite, right, and they create a family and they are together, what they are doing is they are bringing the presence of God to the world. But I think that we are, in all of our faith, we are struggling with different definitions of families, right? I think that that's something that we all struggle in. This is something that I talk to my wife a lot about it. And I think that probably the definition of family is changing today. And we're not going to talk about a father and a mother and children. We are talking about a mother and a mother and children, a father and children. And we don't know what's going to come next, right? But this definition of modern family is changing and is challenging us as a religious tradition and as leaders.
And how does your religious tradition deal with that?
Well, in Judaism, we welcome same-sex marriages and we welcome same-sex people to be part of our community, and they have the same privilege that any other person would have in our community.
What about your faith tradition, Imam?
About what?
About, for example, divorced and remarried couples or same-sex couples.
Well, when it comes to divorced and remarried couples, because it's allowed in religion, there is no certain view about this. They can continue their life. They can be part of community because we believe that first it's important to talk about the causes of divorce, and maybe that's a good start for us too, as religious leaders, to try to prevent those causes and try to prevent the divorce, because no one is getting married thinking that they will get divorced after 6 months. They're committing themselves, saying that we will be together in good and bad, etc. So no one wants to divorce, but that comes as a result. And nowadays, the lack of communication, I think it's a major reason. Sometimes it's violence that comes from men through women. I believe in the bless of marriage. I believe that God gives tranquility, gives bless to a couple who is married and who is having a good life. Of course, sometimes you need patience. Sometimes you need to understand each other. I think that we complete each other. None is completed, but a couple can complete each other. When it comes to gay marriage, no one can say to someone, "Do not come to the mosque." Because the way how mosques work, it's not that you should be a member or you have any particular institutional steps that you follow to go to a mosque. You just go to the mosque, you pray, and you go out. When it comes to the marriage, because it's in Holy Quran that marriage happens between a man and female, there is a very good verse that where God says that, and among his signs is this, that he created for you mates from among yourselves, that you may dwell in peace and tranquility with them, and he has put love and mercy between your hearts. So maybe the lack of love, the lack of tranquility, is causing this kind of problems.
The breakdown in marriage.
Yes.
And Father, how do you think our faith traditions should respond to that when people come to us and their marriage is broken, whether it's, you know, a heterosexual or same-sex couple? What do we need to do in our faith traditions that perhaps we may not be doing?
Sure. I think that there's something here that transcends individual traditions. So you can get lost in what a text says, and again, it gets back to how we interpret text.
Yeah.
But speaking from a Christian perspective, all right, if you look to the life and example of Jesus, Jesus accepted everyone, right? He went to the margins. He embraced the sinner. For example, the woman at the well, all right? She was married 5 times, and Jesus didn't condemn her. It's an important story from the Gospel of John. 5 times she was married, and he didn't reject her. He embraced her and called her to follow after him. So it's not a question of necessarily agreeing with the behavior, but it's the person. And it would seem to me that every religion that is worthy of the name religion is one that welcomes the other as they are, not, again, that you necessarily agree. James Joyce, in speaking of Catholicism, he defined Catholicism in this way: here comes everyone. And I love that definition.
Mm, that's nice.
Here comes everyone. And so we limp along till life is. And there's tons of reasons why people get divorced and separated, and relationships get screwed up all of the time. It's not new to the times in which we live. However, how do we still embrace the other, and we help each other also to move towards healing, and also to help people in our culture to understand what the meaning of commitment is, and to understand there's no such thing as a perfect human being.
Yeah. I have been thinking about this a lot. And, you know, I feel like we live in a culture and a time that many things are disposable, right? So I had a party the other day, and we bought, you know, these plastic plates and plastic silverware and plastic. Everything was plastic. We just took it and we threw it away. That we recycled, of course, but we threw it away. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about my parents, my grandparents. They luckily, you know, would have one set of silverware, and they would keep it and polish it and use it. And today, you know, you have a hole in your jacket, you would, you know, throw it away and go and buy another one, right? So we dispose a lot. And I think that part of it has to do also, and part of that also is connected to marriages. I think that people feel, well, if it's not working with this person, okay, I'm going to go and find another one, as I can find, you know, another plate, another silverware, another tablecloth. And that's not how we build relationships. And that's not how we build commitment. And I think that it has to do with the world that we are living in.
If Pope Francis, actually, in Laudato Si, calls us the disposable culture. He uses a phrase like that.
Okay, well, yeah.
So it would be very agreeable.
We're both from Latin America.
Aha, okay, that's right, that's right. What do you think, how would we teach young people commitment? What would we say to them? Well, because I'm just thinking of my students, they're, well, first of all, I would say that this generation of students isn't even thinking about getting married. They're postponing it. According to the research out there, they're postponing marriage for several years, maybe until the late 20s, even early 30s.
Wow.
And so more and more people are doing that. They'll postponing marriage. Now, yeah. Some of them may live together.
Right.
They may, you know, they may live together and have a relationship that way and then get married.
I think that the worst thing is to talk at students or talk at anybody. So I say to you, you must be committed, and this is what commitment means, and I give them an understanding of commitment. I don't think that accomplishes anything. I really don't. What I find is this. We live in a culture. See, to me, it's not about, for example, Democrats, Republicans, and all that stuff. Who is reflective and who is not reflective? And what I find with students, but also beyond students, people simply are not reflective. So, for example, the other day in my class, when we talked about the hookup culture, I said, well, and they talk very freely. They talk about this stuff like they talk about what they ate for lunch. Oh, yeah, we had sex. We did. Blah, blah. So I said, well, did you feel happy the next day? Well, Jesus, not really. Now, there were two kids in the class. They're in long-term relationships. Long-term means 3 weeks. I don't know what long-term means, but they're in long-term relationship. Okay. So I said, well, you talk about this. How come you do this? Well, you know, I was in the hookup thing, but I'm liking this better because I'm experiencing something with this person. Well, let's talk about it. So I think to engage them in conversation and to give them models for reflection, I think is the key, as opposed to you must not do this and blah, 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 this kind of thing. I think
to help them reflect on their own experience. Well,
exactly, exactly. Yeah. And if they do, they come to this, they're not happy. They're not. And at least if I've experienced them, if you press them.
Well, the psychological research would suggest that for women, it becomes a way that their self-esteem gets lowered when they participate in the hookup.
I would like to add another component or another element. And I think that commitment is a result of meaning. When you find meaning or when you find the meaning of something, you commit to that. If you find it meaningless, will be very hard for you to commit to that. So think about a cause, think about a relationship. When you find it meaningful and the meaning of it, then you would commit to it. And I think that we have to bring, you know, our students and, you know, different generations to understand what's the meaning and, you know, the value of marriage and why is it important. Or maybe some people would argue, no, it's not important. But I think it's important, you know, to be in a committed relationship with someone else.
But I think I might agree with Father Tony here in that we can't tell a young people that. I think that they have to come to become aware of it, to experience it themselves. They perhaps don't see the meaning that, you know, older generation.
Yeah, and I think that's
sees.
The challenge that we have as spiritual leaders to show that meaning.
Well, to help them to understand that.
Right.
To help them understand that. But this is a big topic, and I'm going to suggest that we maybe continue it in our next podcast. Right now, I want to say thank you to all of you for participating today, and thank you to our audience for joining us.
I would add
if you have
questions or new topics.
Yeah, or new topics that you'd like to suggest to us, please feel free to email us at iprpodcast@sacredheart.edu. Again, That's IPR podcast at sacredheart.edu. Thank you.